Nganga ta formé mwana na ye. Atika la toujours na secret moko to mi balé pona ye moko.
Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 15th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Claude Roganje, Executive Director of Community Financial Literacy. CFL is a nonprofit organization established 5 years ago to focus on financial education for refugees and immigrants in the Portland and Lewiston areas. Claude is originally from Democratic Republic of Congo and has lived in Portland for 17 years, where he has studied and received undergraduate and graduate degrees in business and finance. Also, Claude is a husband and father of two sons in the Portland Public Schools. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Claude.
Thank you.
When we get started here, I'd love to see if you could help us get a picture of what life looked like in the eastern part of Congo when you were a child in the 70s and 80s with your family of five.
Yes. Thank you, Kate, for your invitation. I'm really pleased and very happy to be on a show today. As you said, I've been here for 17 years. I can hardly remember what it looked in a Congo because since I came, I only returned once. In a Congo, but we lived in a nice place where, by the way, we didn't have any snow. That's what I like about the Congo. And if I tell you that the first time when I came to the United States, my brother came to the airport to greet me in Boston. And as we drove to Maine, I said, oh, my gosh, what am I going myself into?
What have I done?
Oh, what have I done? I don't know. So, that was my first experience in the U.S. But back in Congo, really, we had a very good time, nice weather, year-round, always eating fresh food, not necessarily food like we eat here, so which was really, really good. So I enjoyed my livelihood there, and my dad was in the army, so we had to travel different places, but it was a really nice place.
The food, was it cassava?
Cassava leaves, cornmeal, rice, beans, but mostly natural food, like what I see here, the whole food, where even though it's very expensive.
There are a lot of farmers in Eastern Congo, right?
I know, yeah. I know, but it was really natural food. That's what I liked most.
That sounds wonderful.
Absolutely.
Is there anywhere in Portland you can get that kind of food?
Yes, we can. We have now some African superstores. Not superstores, small stores, actually.
Grocery stores.
Grocery stores, thank you. And also, the whole food actually has some natural food, but it's very expensive. But we try to buy them as we can, if we can afford them. Thank you.
And there's a new restaurant, too, isn't there?
Absolutely. One of my friend, actually, who worked with me down here at Community Financial Literacy, just started a new restaurant called Shebiso Nabiso. So if you haven't been there, oh, my gosh.
It's next to Silly's.
It's next to Silly's. It's on Washington Avenue. Don't miss that. That's really, really good. By the way, I don't know if we ever cook again at home because my wife likes a lot.
That sounds good. I'm dying to go there. Great to understand that, too. So why did your family choose to leave Congo, which was, for many of us, then called Zaire.
Yes.
Right? Certainly when I was in school, I learned it as Zaire. And then when I hear about Congo, sometimes I wonder if people have made the transition.
This is funny because I've been asked this question for so many times. And when I grew up, we used to be Congo. Before even I started school, we become Zaire. Then before I retire, we are back to Congo. So it's really funny, but...
And all the while eating cassava leaves.
Eating cassava leaves and the cornmeal and the beans and the nice fishes because we have nice lakes. I lived near Lake Tanganyika. So the reason why I left was actually those reasons of changing names of those country because the country was in a war and that was an era of late President Mobutu who had led the country for more than 30 years. So when the Kabila took him and took over, he wanted to change the name. So in between those wars, it was not really safe for me, so I decided to leave the country.
And your family went to Rwanda as refugees?
Some of my families went to Rwanda. I still have families in Congo, by the way. But most of my family moved to Rwanda for their safety. But then from there, I decided to come to the United States.
And you were there, 2 years?
In Rwanda?
In Rwanda.
I believe less than 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost. Yeah.
So how was it you made your way from Rwanda to Portland, Maine?
That's a very good question. So I had already a brother who was living in Portland, Maine, Reverend Pastor Mutima Peter. He managed to help me to get into the country. So I was invited to come and explore a situation here, especially that we were not in a good situation in the Congo. So he wanted me to come and continue my education here rather than just staying there without enough support. And I came down to Poland in 1996, and I decided to seek an asylum based on a situation we had in Congo. So that's how I ended up living here.
But you left your heart in Rwanda.
Yes. I did, as a matter of fact. Before I left, I met this cute girl. She was really, and she's still a beautiful woman. I said, oh my gosh, how can I leave this country and leave this beautiful girl? But we stayed connected, and I'm glad that she ended up coming to the United States and we got married here. So it was a long journey, but...
It's a great story. I couldn't resist.
I knew you were going to ask this question. I was expecting you to ask this question, even though I was not prepared to say it. But it was really good. It was great. It was great.
Oh, sure. I'm glad she's here, too. What do you wish all Americans knew and understood about Congo?
Really, Congo is a wonderful country. I think you saw when you visited me in my office, I'm a U.S. citizen, but at the same time, I still have my flag, my Congolese flag in my office, because Congo is still on my heart. Congo is full of mineral resources. Is a country really rich, and the people can really, investors can take advantage of. Americans can go invest. We have diamonds, gold, and all sort of minerals in the Congo. However, the one thing that really doesn't make me feel good is the way that Congo is among, now the people of Congo are the poorest of the poor in the world, almost. So, again, what I want people to know, Congo is a nice place to be, to do business, to invest. However, we need help from Western to come and really stabilize the country so that people can enjoy the resources rather than giving resources away to these countries that are coming to invade Congo. So that's what we're trying to see. If United Nations, I know they've been there for so long, but they're not even doing much. But we need really a peace in a Congo so that people can live better and have better education and enjoy the resources of the country, the natural resources of the country.
It is painfully ironic that really the richest land in the world
Absolutely.
And the richest resources in the world could be the poorest people in the world.
Absolutely. That's what I said. It's really, it hurts a lot when you see that people have to be surviving all the time, even though they could be in good shape based on the resources of the country. But unfortunately, it's not the case. However, every president who took over, he makes himself rich. And the people he was supposed to serve or supposed to help are really the poorest of the poor in the world.
It's very
That's
sad.
That's very sad. I agree.
You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us today, welcome. I'm having a conversation with Claude Rogonje, the executive director of the Community Financial Literacy Organization. He is originally from DR Congo. So we wanted to turn our attention to community financial literacy. And can you help people to understand what the CFL is all about?
Oh, I really like to speak about CFL. CFL is my dear to my heart. Back in 1997, when I started the workforce development, it was very hard for me to understand. And I share this with you, and I have spoken, I share this with many other people about CFL and why CFL. When I was at manufacturing, I used to work at Nichols Poland. And the first thing they asked me when I was hired, they said, would you like to enroll yourself into 401k? I said, what a monster. What is that? I don't just want to enroll myself into something that I don't even understand. What is that? So they started explaining me what is the 401k. And I said, oh, it sounds like interesting stuff. Okay, I'll be interested in just joining that program. But I didn't really know for sure what I was putting myself into. So at the end of the day, I thought about people who really, really will struggle to understand the same way I was struggling. So the future of Mainers, especially new Mainers, depends on how they shape themselves in terms of building the future of this, their own future in this country. So I said, oh, my gosh, how can other people really benefit from this program that the companies are giving them, but they not even understand? When they give you a 401k paper, you throw in the trash because you don't understand what it is. So from there, I said, I need to start something to be teaching new Mainers about this such a program. It's not only 401k. It's a life insurance. It's a retirement account. It's savings for their kids. It's getting higher education. You know, the cost of education is very expensive now. I was really learning that listening to a CNN probably show when they said $1.3 trillion is debt that the student owes. So when I thought about this issue, so I said, okay, we'd rather start something to educate new Mainers. And also I wanted to mention that some of the people who come here as refugees come from countries where these financial institutions are not functioning at all.
I looked online and saw that somebody reported annual income in Congo can be $125 U.S.
That's correct.
And so you come to the United States really not ever having to have had any banking skills, any budgeting skills. Really, it's all gone. And so I imagine that's a whole paradigm.
Absolutely. That's why I said, it's a whole new ball game. Not only the financial institution are new for some of them, but this issue of credit and the credit report, a credit score, and credit cards. So people really didn't understand what they were getting involved into. So, and they get messed up with the credit before even they start living. So that's why I really decided to put all these pieces together to create a curriculum that we can teach new Mainers. And I'm glad that we have really saved more than 1,000 people. And I'm sure that some of those, I don't keep track of every individual, excuse me, but I'm sure that they have gone to benefit from this program and are making their own difference in their lives and their families.
I'm sure they have, certainly having some kind of understanding. I know that there are predatory lenders, and people who prey on immigrants because they know they don't know what the forms mean. And then they can get themselves in debt and even in jail at sometimes, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the issue of, I was teaching my student the other day in a class, and I said, you know that if you don't pay taxes, you can go to jail. They didn't even know, because some of them, again, come from countries where there is no income tax. So they don't even understand unless, especially if someone is self-employed. So they have to take some withholding themselves and send it. some quarterly taxes to the state or federal government. They don't even understand that. So it's really scary. And also, I'm glad you mentioned about predatory lenders. Yes, we do have a lot of predatory lenders who take advantage of people. One thing, the first time when I first started the class, is somebody came to me and said, oh, you know what? Really, I'm glad you mentioned about predatory lenders, because when we first came from Iran, we got a letter from the mail that we won a lottery of $10,000. So they said only to claim the $10,000, you need to bring about $1,000. I said, you never win a lottery unless you play. So it was heartbreaking that they learned there was a scam after they collected a little bit of money they had with the kids who were working at McDonald's. They were still new in the country. Only kids were quick to learn English, were hired at McDonald's and other places. They collect these small funds, and they took them and sent a check of $1,000 to learn later that was a scam. We have so many scams like that. Not only those individuals, even small businesses. Maybe we don't have time, but we could share a little bit more about the scam that I have learned in my financial counseling and financial coaching to the small businesses.
I think that's heartbreaking.
It is. It is.
The tragic. You know, McDonald's earned money from teenagers.
Absolutely.
How does CFL, a refugee-run organization, contribute to building the Maine economy?
Oh, my gosh. So one of the questions that many people, probably including yourself, you asked me when we came, you said, how did you end up being in Maine or in Poland, Maine? So that's a question that people ask. And the other question that we always hear people talking, they say, oh, refugees are here just to take away our stuff. That's not true. That's not true. I will say this again, and I can continue to say that at different places. It's not true that we are coming to take away stuff. Instead, we are coming. We have skills. We are passionate. We have taken men as our own home, even though we are called people from away, as I hear many people saying here in Maine. Community financial literacy started, as I said, 5 years ago. It was in my living room. But today, I'm proud to say that we are in the middle of downtown in Poland. And also, I have grown the organization to have three other staff besides myself. So we are four people. All of us are paying taxes. We are paying payroll taxes for the organization, and it goes to the state. And we are looking forward to expand our organization to even reach more people. So it's really not coming to take away. I cannot even remember when personally I was given either a food stamp or a TANF or anything like that, or even Medicare. So I have my private insurance that I pay. So really, this is, I will say, excuse my language, but nonsense to say that we are coming to take away stuff. I have shared some of these stories with you. If you go to Lewiston, for instance, you find many stores on Lisbon Street, which are owned by immigrants. Here in Poland, the same thing. So community financial literacy has joined other small businesses in Maine, even though we are a nonprofit organization, to really help reshape the economy of the state and bring more skilled people, even train more people who can be employed by businesses in Poland as well as Lewiston. So we are part of the growth of the economy, not necessarily taking away stuff from the economy.
Thank you so much for making that clear. I think that, you know, we have a very limited exposure to what it means to be an immigrant, and that's what I love about this show, because people bring so many different kinds of slices to the pie.
Absolutely, I agree, and I think we have this is really what I'm going to say, and I want people to hear, especially Americans. I think it's time that we also educate the Americans on how to work with refugees and immigrants. This is not a joke, because it's a reality that's been spoken by businesses, by many people, that Maine is one of the oldest state, is aging. And you heard the mayor the other day at the Community Financial Literacy Annual Celebration saying that in 2017, we may have a shortage of employees here in Maine. So we need really to help the Americans who are our hosts, which I really praise a lot for hosting us. But they need now to go beyond the world of taking stuff away or even people from away so that we can build the economy together. We have 38% of public school in Poland who are non-U.S. citizen born. So we need to work together. So we need to build the state together with the host and the new Americans so that we can really the economy will prosper other than name calling. So I think that's where we need to be. So the Americans who are listening, please, you need to embrace those who have come as refugees but who made Maine their own home and say, what can we do for you to be able to be employed and run businesses and companies in the future before even the state collapse.
Do you have any references that you would recommend to people if they were wanting to learn to reach out and meet immigrants and refugees where they are and find a way to work them into their local business?
Absolutely. The first place I would recommend would be Poland Adult Education. Poland Adult Education has more than 1,000 immigrants and refugees who are going to school there. And again, remember, their first need is to learn English. By the way, I didn't speak English before I came. I'm still struggling with my English, but I didn't really speak English when I first came. But so adult education helped me. Excuse me. Adult education helped me to really learn how to speak and even helped me to gain some knowledge before I went to USM. So that's the first step. And also, we have this wonderful restaurant. We have this wonderful small businesses that people can take advantage of, go and talk to them. We also have different churches of immigrants, refugees, that really people can go to and learn about what's going on and try to speak to pastors and members and learn their needs to be able to mentor them. So I think what we need mostly is mentorship more than just feeding us.
Well, that's a great idea.
Correct.
That's a great idea. Really one-on-one relationships.
Correct.
Meet your neighbors, find a way to see if you can connect them into the community.
Correct.
Great.
And by the way, as I said, my three CFL has four staff. Two of them are Americans. So we already learning ourselves how to become a multicultural in our organization. So we're helping Americans, they're helping immigrants, and we need that diversity, which is really a way to build wealth in a state and in a city.
Can you give us your website?
Our website is www.cflmaine.org.
I love your website. It's very usable, really explains what's out there.
You.
And I want to also point out, it states that these classes, these financial literacy classes, are free.
Yes, that's correct. So we provide free courses, money management, where we teach how to plan, how to budget, banking, and also credit. And we also teach people the saving to build wealth, which is a little bit upper level class where people who have learned how to budget can now say, where do I save my money? Saving for retirement, savings for college, savings for any emergency you may have. But also we have gone beyond to promote IDA program, Individual Development Account, which is a matching savings program for refugees and immigrants who are starting their lives. They can come, we can match the savings for family up to $4,000. They can use the money for small businesses. They can use money for education. They can use money for purchasing a vehicle or buying their first house to reach the American dream, as everybody said.
You're making it such a rich community in so many ways.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
You shared with me before that CFL started with a dream, a picture, and a laptop. And I wonder what your dreams for community financial literacy are going to be in the next 5 years.
That's absolutely great. In the next 5 years, I have a wonderful board. To be honest with you, I should not say that I can do this by myself. This is something that the community has embraced me. I have the CEO of Seaport Credit Union as the chairman of the board. I have the vice chairman as someone from RM Davis. And we have lawyers and business owners, brokers, and others, to name few. So they have helped me. So what we did was we had a retreat, and we decided to expand our organization. So we are adding more program and the services to the organization so that we can reach more people. As I said, people are struggling, students are struggling. So we have created a partnership with the FAME to hire actually a new college access counselor to help these people who are going to college be easy to do either FAFSA, student loan, and other things. And the second, we also trying to expand into the workforce development. Many of these students who have come to our program are really struggling finding jobs, but we know they have skills. So that's an area we want to develop as well. And finally, we want to help small businesses really increase, be efficient as they work themselves. So they have created their own businesses. They are helping the economy, but we need to help them to grow. There is many organizations that are helping startup, but there are not many that are helping them to grow where they are to be more efficient.
Wow. So those are some big plans.
They are big plans, but I know that we have wonderful donors who are helping us to reach those dreams. So that's why I'm not afraid, because when I started in my backyard or again in my kitchen, I had these wonderful people that have helped us. I will say that Maine State Housing, I will say that Poland Adult Education, Poland Housing Authority, Avesta, and many others really have come to support CEI, which is our partner, Cultivating Community. So we have built a bunch of organizations around us that are helping us with the wonderful support of many foundations. So that's why we're expanding our programs.
Your program's fantastic. I'm really excited about it. I hope if people are listening, they will go to the website and check out cflmaine.org. There's so many offerings, rich opportunities. Our closing song today is going to be
Lucky Dube.
Lucky Dube.
From South Africa.
Yes, and tell us why you chose Lucky.
He used to play very good music. He was a free man, so really. Especially, I like this song because when you say my lover, she stayed in Africa when I was here for so long. And I used to listen to his music, which really reminded me this relationship. And I stayed really tuned into it. So I like to hear Lucky Dube.
Well, it kept your heart alive. You've used your heart to start something you believe in. Thank you for coming in today.
And thank you for inviting me. I'll be happy to come back again if you invite it.
We would love to have you. You've been listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and I want to give special thanks to my guest, Claude Roganje, for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me, Kate.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com. Also, if you are a New Mainer and you would be interested in being interviewed on this show, please send an email from the contact page on the show's website, newmainersspeak.com. Up next is Cruz del Sur with Victoria right here on WMPG.